Come to the 64th annual OA birthday party. Together, we get better. In person, January 12th through 14th at the LAX Hilton in Los Angeles, California. Meet fellows from across the globe for a weekend-long extravaganza of workshops, panels, special interest speakers, entertainment, fellowship, laughs, and recovery. Highlights include body image workshop, weekend-long big book study, sober eating workshop, keynote speakers with unique stories, dance party and comedy show, yoga and meditation, meetings and meetups for LGBTQIA, BIPOC, Spanish language, young people, and AAPI members, plus a boutique where you can shop till you drop. Registration is now open at oabirthday.com. Staying the night? Book your room now at a discounted rate through the oabirthday.com website and act fast because rooms sell out quickly. There is a solution. You'll hear from speakers who have various versions of this disease who live happy, joyous, and free. Because together, we get better.
Welcome to the OA Serenity Sunday Meeting Podcast. Serenity Sunday is now hybrid, meeting in person at Roxbury Park in Beverly Hills and on Zoom. Visit the Los Angeles Intergroups webpage at oalaig.org for information on how to join our meeting live in either iteration. Now that we're meeting in person, Serenity Sunday has regular meeting expenses and would appreciate Seventh Tradition donations to help support the meeting and this podcast. You can donate via Venmo
at Serenity Sunday 2023
or through PayPal, serenitysunday1212@gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the Serenity Sunday podcast are those of the individual speaker and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. And now, our speaker.
I'm Roberta. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Hi, everyone. And just thrilled to be here. I started calling myself recovered about 15 years ago. The food is down most of the time. I still don't know what to do with those times when it's up and I don't want to make a phone call. And this may be, as my beautiful sponsor Beverly says, as good as it gets. I'm not perfect. I'm human. And in this program, I have been able to lose 100 pounds, keep it off for 21 and a half years, and have a life beyond my wildest dreams. What more could I want? I was 40 when I came into this program. I spent 21 years doing more research, having some abstinence, losing it, getting into recovery, trying a stricter food plan, a better sponsor. I was still looking out there for the solution. And honestly, the first day I came into the program and I heard God, I almost bolted because I came in an agnostic. But I stayed because you told me that it was a disease. It wasn't a matter of my willpower. Why was I always heavy and wanting food? And I'd walk into a room and I didn't see the people. I saw what was on the buffet table. And I indulged and I didn't know how to face uncomfortable feelings. The food helped me to get through life. So I'm not angry that I'm a compulsive eater. I'm truly grateful that I'm a compulsive eater. And it does make social situations difficult because I've got to get my way through it. I've got to make a plan usually. I make a plan in advance. I'm going to eat this. I'm not going to eat this. Maybe I'll eat this. And that helps me. It's not easy being in social situations where food, especially this time of year, I mean, December 1st, whoopee, all bets are off. But because of this program, I know I've been given this design to living. It's 12 spiritual steps. I never really had the idea of the 12 of the 10 commandments. It was, we were Jews, but we were more, I love Jeff's version, we're deli Jews. It was more about the food than about the God. And in this program, I learned to get a conception of God. And that's what it says in the big book, that the purpose of the big book is to help us find a God, a higher power in our lives. And It doesn't matter what your God is, as long as it's not you. And, you know, there are t-shirts like that, there are mugs like that, and it's so true. I think most of us are pretty high powered. We come in, we pulled ourselves up out of the bootstraps. We were brought up to succeed, good students, blah, 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 blah. And yet we still couldn't get that weight under control. And I'm still happier when I see a low number on the scale. That may never go away. And but it's not important. It's important to, for me to be at a healthy body weight. You know, I'm up there in my 80s now. I'm 84. I don't want to say, oh, if only I could lose 5 pounds. That's like a caricature of someone who's not accepting themselves as they are. So I accept myself as I am. I'm happy with myself as I am. And I learned that in this program. So once the food is down and the promises do come true by working the steps and going through them, then we have life problems. You know, it's our life is unmanageable. That's the second part of step one. And today I have such wonderful relationships. It's a miracle. We are transformed in this program. I am not the person who walked in 1979. I was given a diet. I was given a blue sheet. I wanted my sponsor to be the thinnest person in the room. I picked the cheerleader from my high school to be my sponsor. And then you learn so much in this program. And I don't throw away the old, you know, don't throw away the baby with the bathwater. Take what you like and leave the rest. If you come to a meeting looking for flaws, you'll find them. If you come to a meeting seeing what can I give to the meeting, it'll be that much better. And just recently, I got all excited again because I do a lot of sponsoring. I sponsor a lot of women, and that's my connection. And I used to be on the board, and then I went to region and world service, and I've done that on the East Coast and on the West Coast. And I haven't, you know, after the pandemic, I withdrew, and I still have my sponsees. But just recently, I'm going back on the board. You know, why not? I can use my experience, strength, and hope in all areas, and OA needs us, and OA needs young people particularly. So please come and stay. And this is just, it's a gift. Overeaters Anonymous was a gift to me. And it says that on page 64 in the big book, it says that it's a spiritual malady. And it took me years to realize that's really where the malady is. It's my thinking. It's my spiritual thinking. I came into this world pretty entitled, upper middle class, you know, lived in a suburban area, went to good schools and got my way most of the time. And, you know, I always said there was just one thing, you know, and that was the weight. I couldn't control the food. And once I surrendered, and as much as I still don't fully embrace that word surrender, but I let go of it. I let go of my need to be able to be in control, because it's not only with the food. I want to be in control of the whole world. Like it says in the big book, I want to play God, and I want to be the director and the actor and the, you know, the script designer. And, you know, that's just looking for trouble. And during the pandemic, I became very interested in meditation. I had all this time. And I do a meditation, and like it says in our step book, it doesn't matter what kind of meditation you do, just do anything. I started with a little app on the phone for 5 minutes, and then it grew, and I did guided meditations. And today I did reflective meditation. I joined a sangha online during the pandemic. And slowly I let go of some of these things, but I kept the teaching of it. And so daily when I get up, I'm retired, long retired, happy about it. And I start my day with God. Years ago, when I lived on the East Coast, I had a house, and I made a room, my meditation room, my prayer room. But now I don't have that luxury, but I share a second bedroom with my husband. He uses this during the day for his television watching, and he has the chair facing the television, but at night he turns the chair facing the window, and I use it in the morning so I can look out and be peaceful and do my work. And that's my meditation, my prayer. I do a two-way prayer. I've been doing that for over 2 years, where I write a letter to God. And sometimes it's deep and really a good letter to God, where I really am indecision. And sometimes it's perfunctory, but I do it every day. I'm a person who likes commitment, who does well with commitment and responsibility. And that is good for me. So my first hour after I do Wordle, I'm still doing Wordle in the morning, and feel great when I get it in two or three. So I have 3 days in a row of getting Wordle in three. So I'm feeling good for myself. But anyway, it keeps my mind sharp, and it's something that I enjoy doing. You know, this program is not a prison sentence. It's not you have to eat this and you can't eat that. It should be that you enjoy your food. I enjoy my food. I've been on many food plans. I am a lucky person that I'm not particularly allergic to sugar. I'm allergic to feeling too full. So you have to find out the foods that maybe it would be best to stay away from, the behaviors that maybe you should not be eating in your car or wherever. So it's a combination of foods and behaviors. And I don't right now have any foods that I have to stay away from. I do have some substances. I've used marijuana many times, first of all, in searching for a higher power. If it was good enough for the Beatles, I thought I should be able to do it too. But anyway, I had to give that up again. I gave it up in 1988, stayed away from it for 30 years. But in 2018, when it was all legal again, well, why not? You know, it's like the man in the big book. For 25 years, he didn't drink. And I listened to that story. And then in a few years, after 25 years, he picked up the alcohol again. And with a few years, he was dead. The marijuana is not good for me, but there's no food that takes me out like that. So I drink alcohol, I eat desserts, not very often. Let me tell you that. That's the spoiler. When I go to a party, most likely I'm not eating desserts, because that's a time when my emotions might be up. When I'm calm, then I can do it. And occasionally I can do it there too. So honesty, that's step one. That's the principle behind it. And you've got to be honest. And Beverly has taught me that we have footprints just like we have fingerprints. And we're all different. So taking a survey of what everybody eats or what they do doesn't really help me. I've got to get honest. I've got to go inside. I've got to pause and ask my higher power, is this a smart choice? So sometimes I don't make a smart choice. Got to correct it. I don't have to take the elevator down to the basement. I can get off on any level. I've learned to be more positive and do affirmations and see the glasses half full. I've learned optimism. And besides the meditation and the letter to God, I have various prayers. I have God box. I just made another God box with my dear friend Cindy. And in that God box, I'm putting in issues that I am stymied with, that I need help with, and other various things. So I like things like that. They work for me, so I use them. I also became more aware of the second stage of recovery. Once the food is down, and basically, like it says on page 84, I'm in a position of neutrality with the food. Basically, I know what I eat and I eat it. Once the food is down and the emotions are up and the relationships are up, that's the second stage of recovery. And that's what some people, Bill Wilson, referred to it as emotional sobriety. He wrote a letter in 1958 to the Grapevine saying, I think the next phase of our development has to be emotional sobriety. And he said that's maturity and balance. He called it humility. I want more than anything to be a humble person. I haven't achieved that yet. I'm still arrogant and I still think I'm better than others and so on and so forth. But I've learned to say maybe that's as good as it gets and it's okay because I'm trying, I'm willing, I'm always willing. And so emotional sobriety has helped me to let go of things that my great expectations, you know. I started seeing a therapist about a year ago, and I had a lot of complaints about my husband. And we talked about it, and, you know, she let me see that maybe it can't go from A to Z, but it can go from A to B. Lower my expectations. I had a sponsor years ago who said low expectations and high hopes. And I think that expectations are always disaster waiting to be happening. And that life is not fair. No. And a dear friend always says the fair is in Pomona. It's a great line because life is not fair. And it's not going to be fair just because I think it should be. My opinion isn't always right. It's my opinion. And I always needed to be right because I had such little self-esteem and such little, you know, self-love that I needed you to tell me that I'm right. I was a people pleaser. Still am. Working on. We're works in progress. But this program transformed me and it will transform you. I'm sure that many of you have experienced this. No one is coming. Years ago, when the feminist movement started, I remember Gloria Steinem saying you have to be your own husband, which means you got to take care of yourself. I'm responsible for myself. Even if it happened to me 20 years ago, if I'm still sitting in that, then that's not taking responsibility. I'm an adult now and I am responsible. No one is coming. Don't take it personally. People do things because they do things. Has nothing to do with me. That is so important to remember. I used to take everything personally because when I was fat, I thought when they were laughing at me always. I always took it personally because I'm self-centered too. So I'm the center. So of course you're talking about me. So these little things, you know, that needing to be right, that not acceptance of myself as I am.
5 minutes, Roberta.
Thanks, John. And I've learned to connect with people who nourish my soul. You know, don't go after the people who don't want to be friends with you. Although, you know, they're very attractive and I still kind of, you know, well, why don't they want to be? And I'll, you know, seek after them. That's really doesn't nurture me. It really doesn't. And I've learned that connection is the answer. Connection with God, connection with myself, connection with people, with each of you. That has helped me. These are all things that keep me in balance. It keeps me walking the middle way. You know, I used to be a very moody person, very high or very low. And now I enjoy the gray area. Still want to get high, but then the problem is that I never want the party to end. So it's a dangerous zone when, you know, when things are too good. Before Thanksgiving, we went to Palm Springs for a few days and it was wonderful with my daughter and son-in-law and my 8-year-old grandson and their friends. And it was fabulous. There was a shuffleboard court we played. But the problem is that then we came home, and as much as I love my apartment, there's a letdown. And so I'm aware of that now. And I take that time to say, okay, you know, there's going to be that down, but you can get through this. I've learned that you can get through the uncomfortable feelings, not by running away from them, but by doing a process, and Tara Brach calls it RAIN, where you recognize the feeling, you accept it, you investigate it, and you nurture it. So I can sit with uncomfortable feelings if I don't run away from them, and that's important. And the best is that there are all kinds, you know, I've heard it said, the shitty committee, the committee in my head, but it's true. There are many people in my head. There are many people. There's the boss, the scared person, the person who's the judge, so many parts of me, but I need to find the best of me. Let the best of me lead the rest of me, because I do have all these parts, and I have the jealousy. I have the it's not fair, and I owe myself forgiveness. I owe myself amends. You know, when we first did the eighth and ninth step, the question was, should we put ourselves on the list? And the AA book doesn't really go into that. And maybe alcoholics, but I think they do too. I mean, I'm not an alcoholic, so I can't speak to them. But I think anyone in the 12-step program deserves to put themselves on the top of the list. Because when we went to our substance and when we were in our addiction, we weren't being the kindest people to ourselves. So I know that it is a spiritual malady. And as the big book says, once the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. So if you put the emphasis, you know, on working the steps, I think that's how I got success. There's a little quote from Dr. Seuss, be who you are and say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter and those who matter don't mind. So I hope you didn't mind anything I said. Some of my other little tidbits, someone said, let God be my compass. And that's a nice visual. And I have learned to pause, you know, to just take a breath. I thought I had to have the answer to everything. And, you know, that's not true. I grew up with a lot of things that I thought were true, but are not true. I want to be useful. I want to let go of that inferiority. You know, it's been said that we're inferiority with a superior, however that goes. We think we're superior, but we really have an inferiority complex. I just want to shout out to everybody who has ever helped me, and you know who you are. Everybody who I've ever spoken to on the phone, everybody that I've worked with on a committee. You know, this program is so wonderful. Not only do you get to do work on your own, but you get to come to meetings. You can go to retreats. We have the birthday party coming up in January, which is such a shot in the arm. You have hundreds and hundreds of people from all over the world. I have a sponsee coming from England. There are people from all over the world, and we get to learn together and be together and grow together. It's a wonderful program. My relationships today are great. I appreciate my husband so much more than I ever did before. I truly love him for who he is, not for who I need him to be or want him to be. I've stopped trying to make him over. That's great. That's grand. That's amazing. I'm a person that people like to be with. You know, I had to revise a lot of my my sister wanted to work.
That's time,
right.
Roberta.
Thanks, John. It was out of whack. And this program with its 12 steps and the ability to have fellowship has changed me. It can change you. And I love you all. Thanks for listening.